Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number 5, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number 9, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo from Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, just for fun, want to try to figure out what positive talks but no progress could mean? Joe just had it from Darren Dreger. It was in his tweet.
Positive talks between
Mitch Marner and the Maple Leafs, but no progress. So, like, what are they talking about that we would call positive but not progress? It can't just be, I mean, I don't know Darren Dreger. He's well-respected, I think. He's certainly famous.
Yeah.
It can't be that they talked about the weather and then decided to call it positive but no progress. I mean, there has to be some substance to this, I would think. But what would it be?
Maybe in something like this, it is taken as a positive if neither side makes an ultimatum that can't possibly be met. That's positive. That's taken as positive.
And that's not progress?
And that's not progress.
Well, that's good. Right? Joe, that is good. That seems ridiculous to report on, but
I know
that would probably be an answer to my question.
They met. And they're still far apart on money and or term.
Not just far apart. As far apart as they were.
Okay.
Or else,
thank you.
Progress.
Right. Right. They remain as far apart as they've been, but they've agreed to meet again next Wednesday. Okay, that's a positive. They're going to meet again.
Is it positive or is it just not negative?
I think it's more not negative than it is positive, but... By definition, anything that is not negative.
No.
No?
No.
It's just.
Just neutral.
Neutral?
Yeah,
neutral.
I mean,
neutral talks.
Don't condescend to your readers. If you are calling it positive, it can't just not be negative. It has to be more than not negative.
Well, agreeing to talk again next week or tomorrow, I think, is better than just neutral.
Okay, maybe, but that kind of speaks for itself. Is that actually in the tweet?
No, I don't know. I'm just...
They'll meet again?
Isn't it a given anyway?
Right?
Well...
It's a story if they're not going to meet again.
That's right.
If they've decided...
And that would be not positive.
No.
That would remove any essence of positivity from the tenor of the talks.
It feels like positive talks... Look, the reality is someone told him how it went, and then he said it.
Right.
But...
Maybe
even both. But if you give him the benefit of the doubt that it's actually true, positive talks but not progress, I mean, there is just not a lot of room there that exists and is in any way meaningful.
Right. I would think it really just comes down to they've agreed to talk again. And that is taken as a positive, and that's it.
Now, how would you report that, though? I think I would report that as
they did not
get anywhere. But they are going to talk again
right.
at a later date.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe that's what happened, but since it's the parties controlling the message,
then one side
that
or the
sounds
other,
negative.
Right. They both want it to sound like it's positive so nobody panics.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you come up with, I mean, just think about like how empty it is, though.
You come up
with positive talks but no progress. What are you actually reporting?
I want to ask like another question to add to this. Like, who's the nobody that would panic? Like, who? Fans? Like, neither side is going to panic. They're involved, right? Like, Marner and his agent aren't going to panic. The Leafs aren't going to panic. They know what's going on. They know what's being said. They know whatever threats are made or could be made. So there's no need for them to panic. It would just be outside. Everybody, the Leaf fans are going, oh, this is going to happen. It's going to work. And like, that doesn't
mean
anything.
And so what?
Right. That doesn't mean anything. So I don't even know why you need the spin at all, really. But this is how the machine works.
It is how it works. It wouldn't even be admitted to as spin by the reporters.
No.
Like, that's not spin. That is the machine. That is the job. You just remind everybody of the story, and you identify your own importance within that by
sure.
Like, I'm the one telling you that they had a meeting and that it didn't go badly, but also they didn't agree on anything.
Right.
Like, this sounds like the strike or a lockout or something where it's
right,
just like,
yeah.
Well, it was positive. What? Nobody punched each other. But they didn't actually agree on anything.
Right, they made no progress.
There was
on
no
a salary
progress
cap
at all.
Or anything, right.
I still want what I want. You still want what you want. Hey, okay. Have a nice day.
Right. You want to meet again and talk about this some more? Sure.
Yeah. And you have to. I mean, that just has to happen.
Right.
Or else you just. I mean, the whole thing is over. So that wouldn't. It has to happen that they would meet again. You have said, by the way, and I know, like, maybe very few people listening are thinking about hockey, and I wouldn't be thinking about hockey. Today either, probably, but I am for one reason.
I'm thinking about hockey every day.
And well, that's you.
And not just because of my kid, but yeah, like the Sabres. Like this I know I'm not going to end up talking about it much, but I get up every day thinking, break the logjam.
Well, they haven't yet, you know.
I know. When I scan through Twitter, I'm going, somebody sign, make a Ristolainen trade. Like that, my morning, every morning, is full of some hope that I'm going to scroll to something that's going to go, ha, 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 ha. It doesn't happen. So it's a letdown, but whatever. That's how I live. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that. I want to talk about that because it's important that that has not happened yet. We are at August 19th. Camp is in a month?
Camp is September 12th.
Camp is less than a month. The preseason is in a month. Okay? So are we past the point at which you would expect it?
What specifically? A trade?
Sure. Well, that's what this means, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. I just meant like somebody signing, but yes, that.
Well,
I think...
I'll say more. The rest of it is like it has made sense to me when you first figured out or just posited that maybe Ristolainen or something else the Sabres would want to do, thinking that there has to be some trade or trades that is waiting on restricted free agents around the league. And it might all be waiting on Marner. The other restricted free agents to some extent or another might be waiting on Mitch Marner. There are several prominent players left to sign.
I would say it almost matter-of-factly like that. I mean, I don't know it to be matter-of-fact, but it sure seems it makes a lot of sense.
Without this, I don't think I would care what Darren Dreger said about Marner. Like, I don't care about Marner, but I care about him for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if that's right, that would not have changed yet. Like, nothing has happened yet. And you can still be perfectly right and at ease thinking that whatever is going to happen
yeah.
will happen
right.
once that happens.
Right.
But it's always... You know, also, it's always been true that can go into the season and maybe this can't.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's August 19th. A month ago, it was fine. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, it was fine to point out, and we certainly did, that Jeff Skinner was traded in August last year.
Right.
And, like, we were here, and it was a Thursday, and blah, 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 right. or whatever.
That was 17 days ago now.
Was it?
Yeah, it was August 2nd that trade
okay.
happened. Yeah.
All right, so?
So it's been...
Is it just as likely to you yeah. that happens, like, tomorrow than that happening the way it did last year?
It doesn't make sense, in my opinion, to answer that negatively. To say no to that would be to turn my back on the whole thing is structured around Marner is creating a logjam of all these guys. All these guys are creating a logjam of teams that still want to make trades, like the Sabres. And so nothing can really happen until, like, if A is Marner, there's no B, C, or D without something happening with A. So we're sort of stuck. And I still think that all that should happen at some point, and therefore, yeah, I still get up thinking today's the day.
Wow, that is a great attitude.
It doesn't make it to me any less likely. Now, if the premise is faulty, which is, of course, possible, then, you know, nothing has to happen at all if Mitch Marner signs or Ratanen and everyone else falls in line. Like, the last chain of that, piece of that chain, could be a big Sabre trade. Maybe that doesn't, still doesn't happen, and I've been wrong all along. And it's not the holdup, and maybe the demand in return is too much of the holdup, and that's not changing, so status quo is the way we go. And maybe they're going to try to rehabilitate Ristolainen's value or something, and we'll go into the season. I don't know. But I'm still hopeful, because I think it just makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of unfinished business, big time, not just minute little detail role player guys. There are whales out there waiting to be signed, and I think that that kind of activity will create player movement.
Do you think something like this could be true? Could be possible? So we've talked about Winnipeg for this. Like, Winnipeg has, who do they have left? They have Line A.
Connor.
Kyle Connor. Yep. Is that what they have left?
Yep.
Kopp was one he signed?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does Kyle Connor, what does he deserve to make?
$8 million. Yeah.
All right. So it could be Line A, but let's just say it's Kyle Connor. You want to pick someone else when I lay this out? Go ahead. So, one, the logic with this argument, this conversation has been for a while, whether you want to start at Marner or not. You start at Marner, he signs with the Leafs or an offer sheet with someone else, that settles that, and then everybody else down the line knows what they're worth. They have a better idea of what they're worth, and teams are willing to, they all understand that together, and Kyle Connor comes in at whatever number. And then the Sabres try to trade Ristolainen, and they've talked to Winnipeg. Winnipeg is, like, perfect because they have these RFAs, or they're really perfect because of their team. Their defense core is weak. The right defense thing is a chasm in their lineup. And with the coach being where he's at and the whole thing, like, they need to win. Yep. So this is, like, just – it's there it is. It's a good fit. But they're not going to do that until they have numbers. They've cost certainty on their other guys.
Right.
Like, they don't want to – maybe they even have a deal. I've always wondered. Like, that could be as far as, like, there is a trade. But not yet, because we need to know for sure what these numbers are. And if we're way off
– Right.
We end up way off, then we may have to back out.
Right. They wouldn't want to agree to trade. Let's just say my dream scenario would be Ehlers, right? And maybe they recognize that somebody up front – top heavy, somebody's going to have to go when we sign Liney and we sign Connor and we add this defenseman. We're going to have to subtract $6 million. Who makes $6 million? Oh, that guy. Well, you don't do that until you know that you're signing Connor and Liney. Like, somebody might come out of the woodwork with an offer sheet for Liney and you go, hey, you know what? I like his 35 goals a year, but boy, I'm not paying him $13 million. Fine. Go. We'll take the 4 first-round pick. So you don't want to jump the gun. If you do keep all your guys, then I think the scenario where you should have to move someone significant would come back into play. But I don't think you can do that until you know what you're doing with those guys.
Fine. Great. There it is. There it is explained. Now, I'm the Sabres, and I can respect where you're at, but I need to know. Like, eventually, I'm going to need to know. And when is that? Let's say that's, like, in 2 weeks. Maybe that's September 1, right? Like, let's say I need to know what is going to happen here. Am I going to go into the season with 17 right shot defensemen, or what is the real number? Like, am I just going to do that?
It's like 11, I think.
So I need to know by September 1, and maybe the Jets don't have their answer by September 1. Could the Sabres be the team that signs the offer sheet?
I don't think you need to have the cap room to do it, and they don't have the cap room to do it. You need to sign an offer sheet. You have to have the room under your cap when you make that agreement with. If they wanted to sign Patrick Laine to whatever contract, they would need that cap room available to them the minute he signs that offer sheet.
Okay.
So they can't. They're out of the game.
Well, then you trade Ristolainen for a box of rocks
right.
to Winnipeg, and then you sign the offer sheet.
Okay.
I don't know if that gets you there.
I'm not thinking
about Laine. I don't want Laine, but
yeah,
like
me either. But fine.
One of those, like Connor, then somebody like that. If you get to that number, then I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. But could the Sabres end up being the team? If the Sabres are sort of like by this whole argument that we've liked, and I think might make sense because I'm not. I'm not sure what else does make sense unless you just go, the Sabres don't know what they're doing, and there is that possibility.
Sure.
I mean, they have kind of not known what they're doing for years. So let's say, you know, this is, you guys don't realize it listening, but this is actually nice for the Sabres. We're flattering them by discussing continually the possibility this is thought out.
Yes.
And they're waiting on Winnipeg to figure what they have out, and then we do the thing.
Yep.
We can't wait forever.
Right. I am not I am not at all banking on them to be the logjam breaker, the Sabres. I just don't think they can do it. I don't.
How does it end? Can the Sabres count on some other team to, like, would they encourage? Can you even do that? Like, what can they do to get a settlement? Like, what can they do? Well,
I don't think there's really, I don't think there's anything they can do. They cannot, if they're out of the offer sheet game, then they can't be a wrecking ball to go in there and try to break this, break the dam. So you just have to wait, and you could be stuck.
Okay,
like it is becoming more and more possible to me that you just never get a trade, because Patrick Laine is talking like they're not even having conversations about signing a contract there.
Talks are positive, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I didn't get that
I'm
vibe
sure the
from
reports
any of that.
Are. They're positive.
Connor said the goal is to have a contract signed by training camp. So, you know, that's a little more positive than Laine sounds, but still, that's almost a month away still. I mean, you could just be stuck with what you've accumulated here, and that includes Ristolainen and all these other right shot defensemen, and there's not a deal to be made because ownership and the league and the players and their agents have drawn hard lines, and there's a CBA to be negotiated in another year or two, and this experience, this RFA summer of 2019, I think is going to be talked about constantly when we get to lockout territory, because I think teams are going to try to make an example out of how bad this was for everyone. The fans, especially, like, the best players on our teams aren't signed. The system isn't working. And, like, they're all going to be looking to get a leg up in the battle for public opinion. And I think this standoff with all these high-profile RFAs is going to be, like, it's going to be the battlefield, I think, of the whole CBA. So I don't think the potential for no, despite my optimism every day looking and hoping for news, it's creeping up on me that nothing could happen. All these guys could go into the season like Willie Nylander did, and we're just going to be sitting here going, and Winnipeg fans are going to be going, well, we're supposed to be a cup contender. We've got Scheifele, and we've got Wheeler, and we have all this stuff, and like, what are we doing? Our two of our best guys aren't even on the team yet. Well, that's business. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're like, to have the caliber of player, the number of them, it's an unprecedented time right now, I think, in the league, and therefore it's hard to really get your hands around predicting what the outcome is going to be or how soon the outcome is going to come.
I just wonder, and we all would be or should be wondering, what is the Sabres' plan in this area? What can they control? Do they think it's fine if they go into the season with the team they have? Like, hey, are we going to hear about depth from Jason Botterill and options from Ralph Kruger? Like, what are we going
to... Good luck getting anybody to buy it. I mean, they'll say it for sure, 100%. If nothing happens, they will talk about Ristolainen and his attributes and a new coach and a new system and a different role and whatever. Like, that, they will do that. I'm not going to believe a word of it. I'm just not. I mean, their team is built as though they are waiting to make one more big move. And that doesn't mean it will happen, but I think when it doesn't, I'm going to have a hard time going, no, this was the plan.
And by the way, okay, so Dreger and Bob McKenzie and Pierre LeBrun, you know, they're the guys. There might be another guy or two you'd mention here. And I know that, like, doesn't McKenzie make a kind of a scene about how he goes on vacation after the yes. after July 1st or something?
Yes, yes.
But Dreger does, I mean, he's reporting on Marner today, wherever he's doing that from. Wouldn't somebody have this? Like, does any of these guys think sort of independently about what this looks like, and not that they would be, they're not Sabres guys, but they cover the league, and so I wonder what their expectation is. Maybe I should know this. Like, Dreger is on the station all the time. Maybe I should know this, or maybe he's been asked this. Like, what is hockey thinking is going to happen here? And maybe this is just a Buffalo problem. Like, I don't know if any other team has quite the same situation that the Sabres have. But you're like, oh, they're absolutely going to do something. Still, it's August 19th, and you're sitting there going, oh, they're absolutely going to do something. They just have to. It will happen. And so if that's right, I'd like to have some word of it.
Yeah, I know. You know,
there have been reports on Ristolainen. They've been from Finland. I mean, Google Translate is nice to tell you what he said about not liking hockey and everything. That's good to have. And the Sabres are not, you know, the Leafs or even the Blackhawks. Like, they're not a team that gets all the attention.
Right.
But, like, I just don't think if that's right, I want it to be right, and I think it could be. I want to sort of hear someone say it, not just you. I mean, I want to hear someone say it because it's kind of a big story.
Yeah. Well,
league-wise, too.
It is, but it is very much something that, despite the magnitude of it for us, I think Buffalo being Buffalo matters, Ristolainen maybe being Ristolainen matters. It's in the backwash of the RFA. Like, the headline is RFA is not signed, and Colorado has one, and Winnipeg has two, and Boston has one, and Tampa has, like, these teams are all around, Toronto, of course. Everything else that's going to happen once that logjam breaks is not front page news. The front page news is the best young players in the sport don't have contracts and might not be there to start training camp, let alone the season with their teams. So I wouldn't take not getting weekly or biweekly updates from any of the big shots about Ristolainen being traded or a potential Sabre trade of any kind as meaning it's not something that's percolating around the league.
Fine.
Just think it's buried in the summer and it's buried underneath all these RFAs.
Fine. Could be right. It's not that time of year.
Right.
It's mid-August. And in a couple of weeks, maybe we'll start to hear some sort of opinions about this. Okay.
So tomorrow will be another day. I will get up when I get up, and I will get on Twitter, and I will go, happen today?
Do they have a plan B? Like, is there a team that they would, like, any other team could also know the score and be like, yeah, we'll do it for this. But these teams, like, they don't make those kind of moves.
No.
Like, these trades don't happen this time of year. They know who they are right now.
Yep.
Everybody just kind of knows what their team is right now. Yes, these holdouts could end up being holdouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, do the LA Kings and the Sabres have, like, an understanding that if I can't get through to Winnipeg, they won't pick up the phone because of their RFA congestion that we have? I don't know.
Right. Like, Anaheim has been mentioned. There's people that I follow that are fans of Richard Rackle, say, for example, as a forward. And the Sabres have history trading with Anaheim. They just made the trade for Montour last winter. Like, okay, they're not waiting on RFAs, Anaheim. Like, I don't think they are anyway. They're pretty well set.
So I can do that if I want, but it's probably, in this imaginary scenario, it's probably not as good of a deal, and I'd rather not do that.
Right.
But if Winnipeg won't pick up, then
eventually,
hey, Winnipeg, I mean, eventually I gotta move here. All right.
Well, that felt good.
I had that written down for 5:30.
I was a little warmed up because I had Paul in here for an hour when you were off last week one day, so I took hockey for a long drive with the top down.
Mm-hmm.
I was loose already still from that.
Yeah, I love the conversation and I love the story. I just was not thinking about hockey until
you heard Joe say
like an hour ago.
But no problem.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this and like it's in my pocket when it comes up. So there it came up. 803-0550 is the number. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Sal Capaccio from WGR coming up later. We'll do mostly football. But lines are open, and certainly if you want to say something quick on what we just went through, please do. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Love the communication. I love it. So many guys get caught up in the communication and the analysis that they get paralyzed by it. And they're like, oh, okay, I got the protection. What do I do with the football now? And they miss or they throw to the wrong guy. Just how fast made his decision, held the backer for a second, and drilled the shot to the tight end before he was even looking for it. It just looked like quarterbacking. It looked like a guy who's starting or in the middle or certainly in the process of becoming a quarterback, not just the thrower.
Dan Orlovsky, commentator, former quarterback, talking about Josh Allen on One Bills Live today. You said how you wake up and then, how did you put it? Like, one of the first things I do on Twitter is I look for the Sabres trade.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you, that's what you go looking for.
That's my morning.
Yep. Are you thinking about it before you open it? Or are you, then you open it, then you look for it? I got to go see if there was a Sabres trade but while I was sleeping.
I am probably thinking about it in the time it takes me to walk from my turning the coffee maker on to the iPad.
Okay. So here's me. I am just exhausted from going on Twitter all the time and reading people debate what people talking about Josh Allen really mean. I'm just exhausted from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, is there supposed to be an answer right now?
No.
Is there supposed to be, like, no, right?
No.
So let's just all agree that conclusions are not worth drawing yet.
Okay. Good luck with that.
So I follow a handful of people that anytime there is a comment made about him, they go ahead and reopen mm-hmm. conversation,
yep.
not just about him, but about what it is to talk about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got
and,
yeah.
I yep, mean, yep. do we really always just keep needing to do that? Like,
well,
what are we trying to figure out? It's my favorite question. What are we trying to figure out? Whether some people are irrational, whether some people are right or wrong,
yeah.
what the processes are, what are we trying to, like, what is the point?
I don't know. I don't know what the point is. I mean, it might vary. Like, I think some people are just defending turf they've chosen to stand on, which is, I think you're a jerk if you aren't supportive of Josh Allen. And that's a pretty broad place to stand. Like, that's a lot of land.
Today read more like, recently it reads more like you're just an idiot. Not a jerk.
Okay, well,
it could be either. I guess.
Yeah, I'm feeling like in this context those are synonymous, but maybe not.
Big difference, I think.
Yeah. So
you're just stupid if you don't recognize that he found Cole Beasley. But you know, most people, Bulldog, listen, you know this. Most people aren't actually saying that.
No, that's right.
It's just
no. How?
They're not actually saying that, but they're just also not impressed. I think most people just. Not most. I don't really want to put it like that. I'm kind of trying to avoid that. The idea, I think, where I stand is I'm not sure how impressed I'm supposed to be or unimpressed I'm supposed to be with anything right now.
Right.
It's just there.
That is the vast vanilla middleness of the entire Josh Allen situation. That's where most sane people are. I think that on either side, the analyst critic, I don't think, is a large number of people. And I don't think the defenders of the turf that I describe is a large number of people. What happens is that the vast middle gets active somewhat on either side, and it makes it, you know, you really end up talking about, this is a big one on Fox, I think, some people are saying. Like, you end up with this sort of outrage about the outrage, and the actual outrage is a very small percentage of people, but it gets amplified when people start talking about how upset they are that people are outraged. And it's just absurd. The whole thing is just absurd. I think that's still what's going on with him, mostly. I think most reasonable people are just sort of hanging out. Like, I mean, we have these jobs, right? So we talk about him in a critical fashion. I got quoted. I got embroiled in this last weekend while you were off.
Oh, you did?
Maybe it was last Friday. I don't remember what day now. But one day on the show, I, in the context of talking about the Bills' plan for Allen offensively, said something to the effect of, I think they'll be making a mistake if they're going to try to turn him into a highly efficient modern-day NFL quarterback, i.e. a high completion percentage quarterback. I just don't think...
You said that before.
Yeah, I've said it many times. I mean, if I cared enough, I'd pin it, you know, to my Twitter. Like, I believe this. Somebody grabbed that line and, like, turned it into a, like, oh, he doesn't think Allen's going to be successful, and that thread just poisoned my well for about 8 hours until I finally just went, I'm just going to go in here and just say what I meant. Here's what I meant. Here's the context. I was speaking, I think, optimistically about Allen when I said what I said, because I didn't think saying he's not going to be someone who completes 70% of his passes like Drew Brees was really being critical. I think that's plainly obvious right now. That's my opinion. I guess he could ascend to that level. I just highly doubt it. So I said it.
I'm going to see that now.
And,
that line.
Right, I know. So, you know, and someone within that whole thread looks, oh, well, thanks. I appreciate the context. Well, yeah. I mean, you get one quote. You got one quote that makes it look like I'm piling on Josh Allen when really I was doing nothing of the sort. I was just talking. And some of that ends up being perceived as, well, can't you just wait and see how it plays out? And what am I supposed to say to that? Like, I got a job to do. Talking about the quarterback is a big part of the job. So, yeah, I'm going to keep talking about Josh Allen. I don't get to just sit on the sidelines and wait until 2021 to tell you if I think he's any good. Like, that's just not how the gig works, you know? But in reality, we're just killing time until we see enough of a sample to realize whether he can do it or not. That's really all we're doing.
Yeah. If you don't have the radio show, then Twitter is your radio show.
Right.
So... I want to have the conversation. I don't have a radio show, so I'm going to show up every day on Twitter and reopen the conversation that
right.
I want to have,
right.
That I know a lot of people will want to have with me because they don't have a radio show either, and they'll want to have the same conversation every day about, or all the time, anytime anybody makes a list, anytime there's a highlight that makes
right.
the rounds,
right.
Then it's like, okay, we're going to do this now again, and... It's like it's just from my perspective, having the radio show, like, it's just exhausting. Like, what is the point of asking a question if you know there isn't an answer? I mean, really, what is the goal in asking the question? It can't just be in the Twitter context. It can't just be, you know, likes and followers. I mean, that's what that would be. But man, somebody named Brandon Anderson from Medium. I don't know what Medium is. I've heard of it. I don't know if that's even like a sports site or what that is, but wrote an article about, I did not read it either. I'm not telling you that I read it. I'm not giving you a judgment on this article, but I saw that someone named Brandon Anderson for Medium wrote an article in which he apparently said Kyler Murray is doing better than you think and Allen is doing worse than you think. So what do you think my Twitter looks like now that Twitter shows you people's responses,
mm-hmm.
you know, to people you don't follow? It's just, you know, they're just killing this guy. Like Sal brought it up. Sal's like, I found Kian Fahey's burner account. Like Sal got into the conversation. And like, you know, maybe the guy thinks that. Apparently the guy thinks that. Right? I mean, apparently he thinks that. So,
sure.
Okay, now what? Now what do we do, guys?
Yeah.
Now what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, light a match? Like, what do we do now?
Right. React to it and freak out.
Isn't it possible that he's right?
Okay.
Like, it's not possible that Kyler Murray is doing better than you think and Allen, like, is that, what are you going for? You just want to crush the guy? Who is he? So, I don't know. The guy coming on today just did something of the sort.
Yep.
Palazzolo, I think Pro Football Focus is cool. I don't have a subscription. I'm not making my judgments from Pro Football Focus, but I respect it. And he's one of the top guys. He's a name, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. and he made a list of quarterbacks by what was it? This was yesterday, maybe. He made a list of quarterbacks by what was it?
I have it. Yeah. I just know Allen ranked 32nd. Starting quarterback
rankings.
Okay.
That's what it was by.
Right.
It was by here's how good they are.
Right.
And he was last.
Last. Right.
And I read that. Again, respect Steve Palazzolo. He's coming on today. And I read that and thought what he had, this ought to be interesting. I found out about it because somebody had tweeted about that.
There was some this is crazy.
Right. Right. So, of course, right. And then you go read that. I did. And I made it. I drew a line between the two. I chose to read this one yesterday.
Yeah.
And it could just be that I didn't have my coffee yet or something or whatever. I was waiting for something. I don't know. I chose to read it.
The other one so you go back to it later?
And then I read it and I thought, like, this ought to be interesting. And the Allen paragraph at the very bottom was sort of nice to him. It was like, well, here are some I think that's probably how Steve will sound. Like, well, here, you know, here's why what he does well didn't exactly, I could read it to you.
Right.
Or you could read it for yourself. Line up for us in this ranking. It was interesting to some people, and it's a reasonable reaction that Josh Rosen came in ahead of Josh Allen.
Sure, yeah.
But still, like, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, to anyone who freaks out about that stuff, I would ask, maybe this is a question. How much higher should he be? I might agree that he shouldn't be 32nd. I might agree that it doesn't make sense that Josh Rosen, who may not even be a starting quarterback this year, would be ranked ahead of him. But like, how much further up are you going? 28th? 25th? Like, how high can you credibly assert that he deserves, based on last year's performance? I mean, he was bad. That's just it. So what you have to go on is a season where he completed 54% of his passes. Yeah, it's not going to probably have you spit out a formula that has you rating very highly. So don't worry about it. He's going to play.
I do recommend a piece that I read today on Allen from Michael Leone. I don't know the guy, but we follow each other and seem to have a little bit of a connection. And he it's a little bit statsy, but not too statsy for those that aren't into that. He's a Bills fan too, and he wrote a lengthy essay on Allen and what was interesting to me, and I've said this for the most part, I agree with it. What should happen here is what I think he called high variance offense. That should be taking shots, you know, like that's what he's going to be better at. We all know that. Like the 14 play drives are probably not in this guy's future.
No, right. So, right. That ended up being a big part of my explanation eventually to this thing that happened with me and, I don't know, I guess Bill's mafia, or does Allen have his own mafia? Was like, look, I think you can hope for big plays to offset a lack of efficiency as far as completion percentage goes, and like that's your formula for success. And like I'm interested to see if that can work. Cool.
The thing that's interesting.
Let's play.
One thing that's interesting about that is for that to happen, in some general sense, the Bills coaches have to sort of take a swig and be willing to live with turnovers. Because turnovers are going to come from that. If you're going to play like that, you're going to have bad plays too. And that doesn't sound like Sean McDermott, but I think Michael wrote in his essay that the preseason could be a sign that they're making a transition. Some people are speculating that way about McDermott, that they want to actually be more of a passing team. And so if they are, and they want to be that kind of passing team, there are going to be tough moments. There are going to be times when his instinct is to pull back from that. And I just still don't think like that can make you a great team. And that's the point of drafting a quarterback like they drafted this quarterback, is to be great and then not have a problem for a long time because you spent the extra money to get him. And so that's where we need to end up for this to have been worth it. And, you know, it's definitely a process, right? That was 1 year, and we'll see how that changes, if it changes, in year two. Steve Palazzolo, PFF, coming up. That's in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
No, I don't have any comments. I think you probably need to go back and look. And I mean, you know, he's got the ability to decide whatever he wants, but that was during the draft when that was going on. I mean, he's a football fan also, so I don't really have any comment for it, and I'm pretty sure he wouldn't. So it's nothing against Daniel Jones. It's just he was talking.
Oh, I'd love to use that logic and get away with it. I'd love to say something bad about someone and then be able to say, I wasn't meaning anything bad about them. I was just talking. What a great line. That is the head coach of the Browns, Freddie Kitchens. Mayfield in GQ kind of ripped Daniel Jones, I think. Like his point was, if it wasn't also personal, his point was, don't you have to win games?
Yeah. And that seemed to be a big part. But that was the main crux of the criticism, I think.
That is rich coming from the Oklahoma quarterback toward the Duke quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. I would have a terrible time with Mayfield. He'd better be really good.
Yeah.
He is off to a good start.
I want him to never shut up and never change.
I know.
Right? Because he will almost inherently, like, I mean, it just depends on what kind of person you are. If you are someone who likes that sort of personality, then you want him to succeed to shut everybody up. If you dislike that kind of personality, you want him to get his, to get what's coming to him. You want to get his comeuppance, I guess is what they call it. And I guess I'm more in the latter group. I think he's really talented and really excellent. And I love that I care about whether he succeeds or fails. Like, because if he was just like everybody else and never said anything interesting, then I might just be, he would just be another guy. We're like, well, let's see if he's any good. Now you're a little more invested. You know, like the whole, the Browns as a whole are, because of him, and I guess Odell Beckham too.
And the coach a little bit.
It all just sort of works. Like, they're hot, and some people are going to be watching intently to see if it blows up, and others will be rooting for it to, go right over the top and have them go win 12 games right away. And I guess I'm more in the, I'm rooting for failure camp, because I would like the new shiny thing that's getting all the credit to sort of melt down in front of us.
You're with the Steelers.
I guess I'm with the Steelers, right.
And I'm with the Ravens. Because right. I am super curious about what their offense is. And, you know, as we were saying about Josh Allen earlier and all the other times, the very same thing is true about Lamar Jackson. Warren Sharp had a piece today about how everybody who thought Lamar Jackson was not a good passer for his age last year was way off. Compared him to other 21-year-old quarterbacks, there weren't many, but it's a long piece defending and pumping up Lamar Jackson. And I sort of see him the way Warren does. And so now PFF, coming on next, doesn't. And that's a question I have for Steve, because it is pretty rare when you have that kind of disagreement
within that community.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Sam Monson was like, he was actually bad throwing the ball. And Steve was retweeting Monson and... Yep. I don't know, like, if that's a rivalry. Is that a rivalry? Warren and those guys?
I don't know. I have to ask them.
I don't know if I want to ask Steve about Warren, but I do want to ask him sort of about the industry or the community in that way, because, like, I remember telling Matthew Collar a long time ago, I love all this stuff, but I think it leads to, once you get it, we all agree on everything.
And what fun is that?
And that's no fun.
No.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus after sports here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.